Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. And I have to thank our guests over at Gray, Gray & Gray in Canton, Mass, and Rich Hershen in particular, who's my co-host for the week. They have, and I don't know, you've been here for about a year or so, I'd say now.
Year and a half.
These offices are just about the nicest offices of any, you know, financial services accounting firm I know. It's a pleasure coming here. It's easy to get in, easy to park, and it's bright, and you have a lot of food. You've always been the best with food.
Some snacks around.
You've always been the best with food.
Got to keep the people energized.
Right. You got the bad food and the good food, and you have espressos, cappuccinos. I mean, what a place to come work. Our next guest, returning guests in a different form, Joe Lyons, who's creative director, CEO, owner of a Spin 350. We call it a marketing services firm?
I'd say design, branding, and design.
Good. So welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Great. Why don't you tell us, about Spin 350?
Sure. So Spin 350 is essentially a full-service design agency run by myself. I've recently changed the model to no longer having a full-time in-house staff. I'm now working in more of a partnership capacity with other local agencies. I kind of align it to if you hire a high-end builder, right? You'll have a general contractor,
like,
and
he brings.
So he's got his team, he's got his electrician, his plumber, he's got the guy that does really nice tile work. And that's kind of how Spin 350 is set up. So we're right down the street from here, actually 3 miles away, right over the border in Hyde Park in Westinghouse Plaza, which is a really cool old factory building that they converted. So that's where all the magic happens, Westinghouse.
Give us a little bit of your own design background. Where did you learn the craft, besides having certain natural gifts?
Sure.
Or interests.
So I actually started doing design when I was in high school. I got into a program at the Art Institute of Boston, which was a college-level program, and I was able to do, I think it was about 18 credits, so about a semester's worth of college classes when I was 15, which was great because I had that. But then, of course, when I went to college, I went to Bridgewater State. I couldn't major in any type of art degree because I already had all those incoming credits. So I ended up majoring in mass communications, which was great. And then I went back to school to Hendrix to get certified in print, web, animation. And then I started off on my own in 2001.
So what made you launch your own company? That's a big undertaking, real entrepreneurial.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was out of necessity. Right out of school, I started working for an architect in the city. I started right before 9/11. 9/11 happened, and as everyone in marketing knows, those were the first jobs to go. So as soon as I started my career was...
Cut short.
So I started working on my own. As a freelancer, I landed a great client that kept me very busy, and I was able to use that client to springboard into hiring additional designers to work under me. I started doing some more project management as well as design, and from there I just grew the business.
It's fabulous. Fabulous.
I see that your client list is quite an interesting, prestigious client list. Things like you've done the Pan Mass Challenge, Beth Israel Deaconess, Boston College, Reebok. I don't see a lot of small businesses listed in there. Is that really where your target is, or is that just, that's good for the headlines?
Definitely good for the headlines. Good for new business. I certainly have a lot of small clients. Where small clients are a good match for me is if they need kind of an ongoing design strategy. So Spin 350 is not really going to be a good match if there's a small business that needs their business cards designed. Where we'll be a good match is if they're going through a rebranding, and as part of that new rebranding, they need a brand book written that will dictate what their marketing materials will look like. Maybe they need a new website that isn't outdated, and they just kind of need a facelift. So that's where I can be really helpful with small businesses. A lot of the bigger clients that I have listed are the ones that need more of the one-off project, because I'm not going into, Boston College and doing rebranding. I'm going into Boston College and I'm doing, publications that come out annually. I'm laying those out and editing the photos and doing the graphic design. So it's really, as you can see from the client list, there's so many different types of projects, and that keeps it exciting.
Maybe this question's wrong. Do you feel that you have a creative philosophy for branding?
Sure.
Can you try to explain it orally?
I can. So I'm a strong believer in the philosophy of human error branding.
I'm a master at errors.
I have a very bad...
You'd be the perfect client.
I have a bad accent. Error as in E-R-A.
Actually, Chris is the master craftsman in my firm of errors.
Amazing. So the basic idea of human error branding is that a company isn't necessarily going to tell you who they are. Instead, the audience is going to tell the company who they are. So you take a company, like Apple, for example, and Apple has a look and feel. They have their brand standards. You've got your iPhone. We all have Apple. My entire studio is Apple, so it's a great example. Their audience is giving them their brand. The audience is kind of that feeling, that gut feeling you have about Apple is the brand. It's not necessarily the logo or all the white space that they use. If you see a commercial without even seeing that it's an Apple commercial right from the beginning, you know that that's an Apple commercial, right? So that's you recognizing the brand. And that's the idea of, human error branding. You know, we're very intuitive people. We know what we like. We know what we don't like. And we either connect with a brand or we don't connect with a brand. So, that's something that's becoming a lot more popular. And I think that it makes a lot more sense because as consumers, we have so many choices, right? And I don't think we necessarily connect with brands who are trying to tell us this is who we are. It's more of we know what we like, and we're going to go with those brands. And that's human error branding.
You mentioned a few moments ago that you changed your model, where you used to have employees and all staff and doing it. Now you're partnering with people. What led you to that change, and how has that impacted your business?
Sure. So I'd say the biggest thing is, when I started the business was me, and it was all about the relationships with my clients. I would meet with the clients. My clients would get to know me. I would get to know them. The work was being done by me, and it was a much more personal relationship. By bringing in a bigger team, I started to lose that a little bit, and I went from being a designer to being a business owner. And I spent my days running the business and, taking care of everything that's required to run a business. And it just wasn't where I wanted to be. I'm a designer. I'm not necessarily – I didn't come out in the field because I wanted to run a business. The business just developed itself out of, being busy, clients looking for work. So now that I've gone back to the model where I'm working one-on-one with my clients, I'm much happier. I think my clients are much happier. And like I said, as I need to bring in people or bring in a partnership team, I have great relationships. So it's we've been doing this for about 2 years now, back on an independent model. And I've actually gotten better clients and better projects from it, which is perfect.
Has it made growth more challenging? I mean, there's only so many hours in the day, so many projects you can take on. So with you doing all the work, how do you balance, getting new clients, growing the business, but also having that work, home life balance?
Well, it's funny because I was a little more stressed out when I had 5 full-time employees because you need to find enough projects to keep all that payroll.
Management's the toughest.
It's tough. Yep. So now I'm not going to say I can pick and choose because there's bills, but I can take on the projects that are good fits for me. I can take on projects that might not be a perfect fit.
You know what you can do.
But I know what I can do.
Right. Versus what a staff member can do.
Exactly. And it's funny because I look at how much work we had when there were 6 of us versus how much work when there's 1 of us, and there's not really a huge difference. I mean, there is, but it's... the quality of work is much
better. I used to have
3
offices and 22, 23 consultants who worked for me. And I was supervising 24/7, and I would go home every night, and either I wanted to kill them or kill myself. And now my partner and I do most of the work, and I know what it's easier to control the quality of the work when I'm doing it myself.
100%.
Right. It just, it's not the same kind of firm. You're building a different type of value. But, I wanted to ask you a question. I don't know if this is actually an accurate one. Is there such a thing in your mind as a New England style or a New England type of brand?
That's an interesting question.
Oh, good. I'm glad. But, I have my own answers with that. But I think, I think New Englanders relate to brands different than Californians do, different than Texans do.
Yep.
And is there a way to express that? Have you thought about that?
You know, I don't know if I've thought of it in the same context, but I do definitely agree that, you know, New England has a great community of people who are from here, who were born and raised here. They have a lot of brand loyalty. And New England has some amazing brands. I mean, just on this, within a half mile, we have, you know, two of the biggest.
Next door, Reebok.
Yeah, and Dunkin'.
Street alone, we've got Dunkin' Donuts and Reebok and some great companies.
And Gray,
obviously, right at the top of that list.
Absolutely. You know, so there's definitely something interesting here where, you know, you ask people where they get their coffee. It's New England. They get their coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. Except on the South Shore, they're going to Mary Lou's, which is also great coffee. Right. But there's definitely a lot of brand loyalty in the area. So when you talk about kind of a style, I wouldn't say from a design side of things, there's necessarily a style, but there's definitely a different type of brand interaction here.
Well, let me give you a little bit of my perspective on that, and I'll simplify it. If you live in Italy or California, or and you buy a Ferrari, you're getting a yellow or a red Ferrari.
Okay.
If you live in New England, you probably don't buy a Ferrari, not as much as other areas, which is a sign. But if you did, it's usually a black Ferrari.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit more understated. When you come into Gray, Gray, and Gray, this office is, the way I would describe it is it's warm, it's inviting, but it's not over the top.
Right.
If you were to go into an accounting firm like this in LA, it would be over the top. Mm. If you went into it in New York, it would be over the top.
Right.
But in New England, over the top means they're billing us too much, and they're more important than we are. And in New England, you can't look like you're more important than the client and that you're making too much money. You got to look successful, but not too successful. So I do think that that translates visually.
Oh,
in
100.
A way a lot of things do.
Absolutely.
And that's because I'm not from New England. See, Rich is from New England.
Yeah.
So,
it's,
and you see the difference between us.
Right.
Actually, from New York, but.
Oh, sorry. Well, New York, you know, it is. That's
Northeast.
The over the top.
Yeah.
I go into offices in New York and I go.
Yeah, it's a different feel.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Now, I rarely go into an office in Boston, even when they're really wealthy, and go, oh, my. Because you don't want to do that here.
Right. And that goes back to, you know, designing for your audience. And that's so important, and I don't know if a lot of businesses understand what that actually means, and that's where it's important to work with a professional designer who understands branding. If your company A, B, or C, you can't design for XYZ audience, right? You need to know who your audience is, and you need to be able to come up with a look and feel and branding that relates to them, or else you're going to confuse your audience, and you're going to appear to be something that you're not. And we've all seen it. There's definitely bad branding out there. There's branding that doesn't really match the client. And it's
mostly bad branding, thank goodness for the good branders.
Exactly.
That's what keeps you busy.
Exactly. And, you know, that's
who
I'm trying to
help. Working for me? Because it wasn't right.
Yeah. If it's not a good match, it's not a good match.
You know, I would say, you know, just to support your cause, if someone says to me, you know, we did it and it doesn't work, I say it's not that you shouldn't have done it. It's that you did it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that simple. I mean, we all need a personality, and you're about creating a visual personality that's consistent with reality. That's what I heard from you up front. You're good at understanding the reality of the customer and translating that visually for the deliverer of that service or product.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's pretty impressive if you can do, because you have to be a good psychologist too.
Well, what happens with every single project I'm going to do, especially brand projects, is I'm meeting with the client at the very beginning, and I'm meeting with all the decision makers in the project and figuring out who they are, who their audience is, who their competition is, and I'm doing a phase of a project called discovery. And until you do that discovery, you can't really do the design work because you're designing blindly. So there's a lot of places out there online where you can, you know, spend $100 and have 20 logos made, but do they know your business? Do they understand what your goals are? Or are they just giving you something that looks good based on the name of your company? Sure. Will it work? Probably not.
Great talking to you, Joe. We're not going to wait another 4 or 5 years to see you again.
Absolutely not.
Stay in touch. You get on our website. Give us stuff to post. We'll post some of your brand stuff on our website. Just speak to Alex. He's out there. He loves to put that stuff up.
Awesome.
He's posting every day all over our Google stuff, our Google searches and everything like that. I love looking at the Google stuff we put up. Joe, if somebody wants to get hold of you at Spin 350, how would they find you?
I'm always there. I always answer the phone. We're at 617-910-9875, and we're online, spin350.com.
That's great. Again, what a pleasure being here. I'm at the offices of Gray, Gray, and Gray. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm here with Rich Hershen, one of the easiest guys in the world to work with. Thank you, Rich.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
All right.
And thank you, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
And they do have lovely offices. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.